Foo Bar Radio presents Dave Hill's History Fluffer.
Lucy's like trying to get me to do something right now, and I'm trying to figure it out what is happening.
Can I say the imagery right now of you in your apartment looks like the cover of a Brian Eno album?
Mm-hmm. Good. My plan is working.
Half your face cut off.
It looks like Here Come the Warm Jets with Dave Hill.
Wait, where the fuck are you?
There it is. That's good. Oh, the vacuum's up.
Oh, yeah. I have a vacuum. I use it every 3 months, whether it needs it or not.
Whether the vacuum needs to be used or whether you need to use the vacuum. You can't. You don't want to have your vacuum just parked in the garage and never rev that engine.
Did you just smell your hand?
Yeah, I was trying to see if it smelled like chicken. It doesn't.
Why would you? I'm not going to ask. Shall we start?
Yeah, let's start.
Hey, this is History Fluffer with Dave Hill. Say hi, Dave.
Oh, hey, it's Dave. I've mentioned earlier.
We're attempting yet another, wouldn't be bi-coastal, because we're on the same coast. What would you call it, Chris? What would you call it, Chris?
Well, you're in Jersey. We're by...
Why do you have to point that out?
Oh, sorry. I guess
someone could come and murder Jim now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris.
Sorry.
I have a family.
Are you below a staircase, though?
No, it's the... Aaron, let me see. How's
that? Oh, okay.
I'm in the attic.
You're in the attic. Is that just... Not to be... I know this is a family podcast, but is that attic just covered in semen? Is that your version of what I'm told is called a jack shack? I shouldn't talk like this. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little ragged. I'm a little ragged.
Can I just say one thing? Do not come in here with a black light. what you would see would look like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh, my God. You know, I've been on this book tour. I've been taking a victory lap around Canada for my wildly popular new book, Parking the Moose. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I swore to you guys I wouldn't use this podcast to promote sales of that book. I don't actually remember that.
That swear.
There was a legal. I had it notarized, actually. It is the number one release in Canadian historical biographies on Amazon.com.
Really?
Thank you. Right.
What's number two?
That's an interesting question. Number two is an audiobook called Beyond the Trees, A Journey Alone Across Canada's
Was that Lucy?
Arctic.
That's my cat. Hold on a second.
You guys have to train your animals better. You're letting them rule your life. Do you guys ever watch Dog Whisperer?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. What does Cesar Milano, whatever his name is, Milan say?
Cesar Milan. He says, "What the fuck is happening? What is happening?"
I think Chris just died.
Sorry. I was putting my cats away.
What, you put them away? Is that a euphemism for something?
Yeah, put them to sleep.
Aw, that would be putting them down.
No.
Just FYI.
Tomato, tomato.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The letters. We're going to get so many emails and letters off this conversation.
Oh, because there's... I mean, we've basically
we're
just...
We're making light of euthanasia.
Wait, now I was distracted.
I, I can hear why.
Because Lucy's
drinking some water.
Yeah, she's a parched little girl. We were at the dog park. What I wanted to say is, in closing, despite you're probably thinking, wow, Dave's a millionaire, his new book, Parking the Moose, available everywhere, is number one in Canadian historical biographies on Amazon.com. I guess he's buying next time. And guess what that ranks you on Amazon? You'd think, well, he's got it, but that must be the most popular book. It's number 183,268.
Oh, well, so you're under 200,000.
Yeah, it's what publishers like to call the sweet spot. doing much better in Canada. I mean, it has been out a month, so, you know.
There's going to be a peak and then a valley on that.
You're going to peak, and then holiday season's coming, and everyone is going to be like, I know what to get. Let's get, a copy of Parking the Moose for everyone we love. Or it's good for Quincinetus also.
For what?
Quincinetus.
Oh, sweet six Spanish, Latino six, sweet 16.
Am I saying that right?
I think it's quinceañera.
Quinceañera.
You don't know what you're talking about. Let me pull it up.
I guarantee it's not quinceañera.
Quinceañera. You think it's quinceañera?
The mighty quinceañera.
It's the like you wouldn't say quesadilla.
That's right. You would not.
You would be surprised. You would have loved my mother because she, if anyone could butcher a Spanish pronunciation,
quinceañera.
Quinceañera. You know, listen, can you hear the guy saying this?
Yes, we heard it.
Okay, quinceañera.
Quinceañera.
That guy is definitely not the least bit
Spanish.
Is Spanish in any way. He says it worse than I do, I would argue.
Is your publisher happy with the book?
I think they're happy with the contents of the book. I don't know if they're happy with the sales of the book.
Now, you were up in Canada for a couple weeks, right? Or 2 weeks?
The better part of a month, Jim. I'm glad you asked. But what the reason I bring it up is because you talked about Blacklight and the fact that you're attic is covered in semen. Mm-hmm. But I did I did WordFest, which is a book festival in Calgary, and E. Jean Carroll, columnist who was raped by Donald Trump
in the Henry Bendel elevator.
Yes. Or was it Bergdorf Goodman changed?
No, it might have been both.
She was talking about, and this is, mind you, in a theater full of hundreds of people. Mm. The fact that all hotel rooms are covered in cum. This is a 75-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. Not that age should dictate.
I'm curious what the age has to do with that.
Age has no. It's just you don't expect a grandma. 75-year-old woman to talk about
semen.
Stuff being semen. To be fair to what's her name? Jean what?
E. Jean Carroll.
I've heard that before, but I think it might just be an urban legend. I mean, think about the statistically, that means that everyone who ever goes into that, every male who's ever gone into that hotel room has jerked off profusely for the 24 or 48 hours that he or she he's there. Not sure.
I can tell you that I was just in Toronto for 2 days. My hotel room, after being there about an hour, I looked around and realized that half the room was covered in semen, but I didn't have the energy to finish the rest. Oh,
you had things to do. You had places to go. You couldn't. How could anyone expect you to finish the rest of the room?
All right, we should focus. I mean, we've given a lot of hot bonus content. Well, the reason I bring up E. Jean Carroll is because she was talking about that on your iPhone, you can use the flashlight and cover. I don't know if this is true, but she said if you cover cover the phone, your flashlight lens, one in like clear blue tape, and then put clear purple tape on top of that.
Oh, you can create like a black light to look at.
Yeah.
Like a forensics light.
Yes.
I'm just going to do the intro. This is History Fluffer. This is the History Fluffer with Dave Hill podcast. I'm Jim Biederman. Joining us is Chris Gersbeck. Chris, you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Of course, you know, if you know Dave Hill at all, I mean, if you know him for like, I don't know, 5 minutes even, you know that this is a guy who has been at the center of almost every, I believe it's nexus of every...
The Eye of the Storm.
The Eye of the Storm. The nexus of almost every major musical, artistic, kind of social phenomenon, movement, art movement. There was a time you were the sixth member of the band The Eagles.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I was the joke was always that I was the seventh member because, as we all know, the sixth member was cocaine. Now I'm technically legally not allowed to say that joke anymore. I know.
Now, apparently you've gotten some letters from, was it Don Henley's people or?
I guess, yeah, they would call it, it's called blowback, I guess. I've gotten, Don Henley's people, Glenn Frey's people, Timothy B. Schmidt's people. Basically, if you so much as carried a road case for the Eagles, I am currently in a litigation with you over this joke. So I shouldn't.
Is there a reason? Because it's not. They claim it's not true that they weren't.
They claim it's not true, but I was there. I made the cocaine sandwiches with Joe Walsh.
What's in a cocaine sandwich exactly?
You get bread. You get a loaf of bread, and then it's just cocaine base, essentially.
Just right, like just sprinkle it on in the middle.
Not sprinkle. I mean, you cake it on as much as you can get in between two slices of bread. That's the amount of cocaine. It's very chalky sandwich at first.
I would imagine, yeah.
The first couple are hard to get down. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Right.
But you
got to work your way through two before you actually, what happens?
Yeah, before they really start to, then you kind of hit the groove, I guess you'd call it.
What is the groove in a cocaine sandwich? Like, is it taste good?
It tastes incredible. You feel incredible and smart and interesting.
Well, that so there was that. You also were involved in the founding of punk underground rock and roll nightclub CBGBs. You had a different. You originally started off as a different plan for that.
Yeah, I was originally. It's funny you mention this. I had hoped to open a restaurant that was for a family-friendly restaurant for people on the go. Quick, healthy, and affordable meals that wouldn't break the bank. It was supposed to be at the Newark Airport originally, and one thing led to another. We opened up in the Bowery, and we know all the rest. We know how it ends.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. You also were you. I'm going to get this correct if I remember correctly. You walked the Son of Sam's dog, or no? You the neighbor.
I did more than that. I mean, I fed the dog. I kept it. I groomed the dog on occasion.
I don't mean to undervalue the job.
Oh, okay. I guess I misheard you. I sent some attitude. I'm sorry. You know, as I said, I've been exhausted, and I've been lashing out.
You're tired from your Canadian tour.
Canadian. Yeah. Yeah, it's taken out of me a little bit. So, I don't worry.
I think you should say it's taken out of me a little bit. If you're going to go all.
It's taken it out of me, yeah. It's taken me out of me. Yep.
just for those of you who are just tuning in or have lived under a fucking rock, Dave Hill's number one Amazon bestseller in the category of.
Let's run a check on that again. Canadian historical biographies. Thank you very much.
Number one. His book is out, Parking the Moose. It's as you can see, number one in that category on the Amazon book selling list. Dave was up in Canada for about a month. Crisscrossing the continent.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, name a Canadian city, and I was
Regina.
I was not in. I was in Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg. Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal. I think that was it.
Halifax.
For the tour, I was not. I wish.
How about Thunder Bay? Were you at Thunder Bay ever?
No.
How about London, Ontario? Did you get there?
I've been to London, Ontario. I played there when I was in Cobra Verde. We played at a place called The Office in Toronto. That was many years ago.
Wow.
Just a pretty young thing at the time.
So the story of your book or the background on your book is that your grandfather's Canadian.
My grandfather was from Clinton, Ontario.
Small town.
And it's interesting. Small town, just not far from Lake Huron there. But it's sort of interesting. Our jumping off point for our story today.
Yeah.
A lot of people famously dodge the draft by going to Canada, right?
You mean the Vietnam War draft?
Yeah. I did. I was on a fishing trip in Canada.
When war broke out? What were you doing?
And I didn't. What I didn't understand is that that I was, you know, being in Canada at the time, I was not really in danger of being drafted. Mm-hmm. But I was hearing the trends of, oh, make a run for it. I got it backwards, basically, and I fled Canada to avoid the Vietnam draft.
So you went from not the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, it was literally, recovering a fumble, you know, and running into the wrong end zone with it. Right. Basically, it's
it's
shooting on. Stupid, I guess I would say. So I got back to America. When was the Vietnam War? Oh, draft. When was that?
I think the draft was during the entire 16th. War. Yeah.
What was the year of that? The years of that war?
66 to about 74.
I mean, my whole thing, I'll say it again with the Vietnam War. My big thing that I was saying at the time was, wait, what are we doing here? We can't even see who we're fighting. I mean, I didn't go, but that's my point is that's what I would have said probably.
Very, very insightful. It's very insightful.
You know, and our boys came home and, you know, they didn't get a hero's welcome. They, you know, you had children giving them the finger. They spit on me and my old man.
Yeah, they did. So you're in Canada. You come back to the United States because you're afraid of being drafted in Canada, I guess.
Oh, it's one of those things. If I had a do-over.
A gimme again?
So stupid.
So if you had to do over, you would have just stayed where you were, which was trout fishing. What were you doing up there?
Oh, trout fishing, bigmouth bass fishing, smallmouth bass fishing, walleye fishing, salmon fishing. And a lot of the fish, basically the fish, freshwater fish out there today. That was what I was angling after. going for, right? It wasn't angling, actually. That would be more of a saltwater thing. Anyway, my point is, I'm in America. Mm-hmm. They draft me. They send me off to Paris, Texas.
Is there a base there?
God, it sure as heck seemed like it. Otherwise, I am more embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were sending you to jail. Maybe it was a jail. What happened when you got there?
Oh, my God. I was doing it. All this stuff. The training. I was, running and jumping and... And,
did you do that crawl under the rope thing? You know the.
Oh yeah, and they're shooting right over the top of your head.
Right.
The whole time.
They being your fellow recruits. Just
people from around town.
So you're like you're target practice for the locals.
Essentially.
This does not sound like a real army base.
No, I mean, looking back on it, I definitely had some questions. You know what I mean? It all seemed, but I around this time, I mean, you know, I believe you've attended a few church picnics with me, Jim.
I have, yeah.
So you know, I have an arm on me.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and I can hit a long ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I know.
So I long and short of it, I flee. I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Right. Because you don't know you honestly don't know where you are. You could be in a recruit in the army, or you could be in prison, or you could just be in some weird cult place.
Yeah. You know, looking back on it, it was probably the latter.
The cult?
The cult, yeah, because we were dressed in bed sheets, which I thought was very weird.
That's a giveaway. That's
for a military 100%. Exercise.
Right.
And also, do you know what a blanket party is?
Oh, yeah. What's a blanket party?
Chris, do you know what a blanket party is?
Is that when you put bars of soap in a blanket and beat someone with it?
Wow.
You're totally wrong, but you're not far off. A blanket party is what you do is in prison, or if you're in a cult like the one I was apparently in, mm-hmm. what you do is you throw a blanket on someone and then everyone starts kicking and punching that person horribly.
This is for fun.
Well, for fun of the attackers, not so much the victim.
No. I get that.
It's like Full Metal Jacket. They did that, right?
Yeah, blanket party. The whole thing is you can't see where you can't see where the blows are coming from.
So that way, it's almost like a Orient Express.
Yeah, well, don't commute. You can't see where the blows are coming from. I'm not talking about glory holes, Jim. I know I saw you perk up when I said that. A little wordplay.
I'll tell you something. Nothing like a pun in the morning. That's for sure.
Nothing like a perverse. I want children to listen, and yet I self-sabotage. That's basically...
Well, we should probably then take the explicit rating off of this podcast if you want children to...
Yeah, okay. That's wise. I think that's wise.
We're self-regulating. We're honest with ourselves. We know what kind of language we're talking
about. Yeah, we know. I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's absolutely fair. 100%. Right. Anyway, so I'm like... Basically, the long and short of it is I... Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
Canada.
I'm really not trying to.
I mean, can I say something? It's starting to become pretentious. It's like you're the guy who comes back from England for a vacation in England with a fucking accent, okay? And now you're all Canada all the time.
Always wearing hockey jerseys.
Yeah, and he's like listening, literally has on his computer the national anthem of Canada.
Yeah,
song. It's such a good song.
I just
that's his notification when someone emails him.
Yeah.
I know it's really pandering, but you know. Anyway, so I got off, understandably got off track. Basically, I'm trying to get out of this cult that I'm in. I'm in a, it's essentially a sex cult now that I, you know, you've connected the dots for me.
I'm surprised that it was me who did that. I'm surprised you didn't already kind of know this. Maybe, I guess maybe you're in denial. You're in denial.
First to admit, I feel totally stupid. You know, but it's one of those things, you know, you just sometimes it takes a friend to hold a mirror up to your face or whatever, however the saying goes, you know, and I just had to be like, okay.
What else am I going to hold a mirror up to on your body?
That would, I don't know.
That would have the same effect.
I don't know. You know, you raise a good point. Yeah. You absolutely, these are valid points here. But anyway, I need to escape from a violent sex cult, essentially.
Violent.
In Paris, Texas.
In Paris, Texas.
By the way, and, the location of Wim Wenders' movie, Paris, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Great German filmmaker. Right? He's German, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wim Wenders, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to
Is he still alive?
I think so, yeah. He was just... we actually have a summer share together. It is...
Please say Paris.
It's in Tenafly.
I didn't think you could find a better place than Paramus for have a summer rental, but Tenafly is probably
here we are. Oh, by the way, I escaped the cold in Paris, Texas. As you know from the many church picnics we've attended together, Jim, I have quite an arm on me. I can hit a long ball.
Preach, Dave.
Preach. You know where this is headed. Yeah. I wind up playing semi-pro baseball in the Dominican Republic.
Right. What was the team again? I forgot.
The Santanero.
The what? I'm sorry. I thought it was a little...
Santo Domingo Quinceañeras.
It's an odd name for a team.
Translated, that's the Santa Dominican Sweet 16s.
Yeah.
So is no one older than 16? I don't understand why they would be called Sweet 16s.
It was just, you know, there's only so many names, you know?
Sure.
And I was traded
from... the team you played for in Dominican Republic was...
Aulingos.
Aulingos, yeah.
I was on the Aulingos for some time. But I was... that was another life. And, this time I was playing for the Santo Domingo Quinceañeros. And we were, I stuck out like a sore,
white guy.
Basically like an Irish guy from Cleveland.
A sore Irish guy from Cleveland.
Yeah. But I, if that didn't help the scouts take notice,
So you're saying the color of your skin, they kind of like, they would do a double take. They go, ooh, ¿quién es eso? Yeah. ¿Quién es eso?
Who's got the paperwork on him? Because I want to sign up, basically, what they said. So
it sounds like, I'm sorry, it sounds slightly pedophilia, kind of.
A little bit.
Well, no, I mean, I did. I was large for my mature for my age, I guess. I filled out a uniform nicely. Let's just say.
Well endowed. You're well endowed.
It looked like I was smuggling footlongs from the concession stand.
Like one, just one at a time, or a bunch of.
That's a question for the fans, Jim.
Man, that guy looked like he's smuggling 5 footlongs.
Yeah, that is, anyway, It didn't take long for me to be scouted.
Right. As they, that's, you know, that's baseball talk for basically being discovered, right?
Yeah. So I get snatched up. I Jacksonville Huskows.
The who?
Jacksonville Huskows.
What's a Huskow?
It's a prison.
So the prison had a team.
It's just one of these things. It was just a double A ball.
The team was named after the prison.
The Huskows.
Yeah. So it'd be like
Jackson. Yeah. Like, it'd be like the New York Sing Sings.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. Did you know
Shawshanks?
Is that a real prison? Shawshank, or is that just from the prison Shawshank Redemption?
I think it's in a lot of Stephen King books, but yeah, it's fictional.
But
so you're playing for the what is it? The Cedar Rapids, what town?
Jacksonville Huskows.
Jacksonville Huskows.
Funny you mention. We played the Cedar Rapids Joann Fabrics quite a lot.
So the local Joann Fabrics in Cedar Rapids, which I'm going to imagine there's more than just one Joann Fabrics in the Cedar Rapids area, they have a baseball team too?
Yes.
Are they a good team? Is it a female team or a male team?
It's male team. Humiliated male team, I'll say.
I can only imagine. But they made their own. They made their own uniforms, I'm going to guess.
Yeah. Everything. But they were very baggy because they're made all made out of fabric 3 yards at a time, which is too big for a uniform. So anyway, so I'm in Jacksonville, right? At the peak of my powers, uh-huh. I'm pitching, I'm catching, uh-huh. I'm hitting, uh-huh. I'm in the outfield. Uh-huh. I was shortstop, third base. Second base, first base.
Right.
I think it's all the positions. And then when I wasn't in the field or at bat, I was filling in as third base coach. I was doing it all, Jim. But I we're doing these long drives because we're playing Tampa, we're playing Houston, we're playing Denton, Texas. We're, you know, basically. You point to a field and we're out there giving 110% and drinking ourselves into a coma basically after every game on the bus ride back to Jacksonville.
Sure.
I blow out my arm.
How?
I was actually just helping. We had gotten a flat, sort of along the Florida Panhandle. And I got out to fix it because I was out. I couldn't, you know, everyone's like, no, Dave, stay in the driver's seat. I drove the bus as well. And I helped.
For all seasons.
Yeah, I got out and, you know, to help with the flat. And do you ever, you know, when you strip the lug nut?
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Sure.
And the wrench, it goes full. The wrench
just
went spinning flying. In the air. Essentially, yeah, basically. And what, so
did
I was.
Hit you in the arm?
No. It hit someone else, and one of our outfielders in the face. He became upset, and he beat me silly.
Wow, what did he beat you with?
Well, do you know what a blanket party is, Chris?
I do now, yeah.
Yeah.
So you just happen to have a blanket and smother
this
you.
This was well. I
this
mentioned
is ironic. I believe this is ironic because you had escaped this cult.
Well, it's one of the well the irony is they didn't have a blanket, but because the jerseys were so big, as I mentioned, because of the fabrics.
Yeah.
Well, they had stolen some Joann Fabrics, Cedar Rapids Joann Fabrics jerseys. Mm-hmm. And what happened was they threw a jersey on top of me and beat me silly. It was honestly, the jersey was not big enough to have the effect of a blanket party, but It was enough to distract me long enough for the fist to start flying.
To get injured.
Yeah, and they also knighted me too, which was a sort of an insult to injury.
What is that? Is that a euphemism for something?
Yes, it is. It's an old joke, but you ever been in a fraternity, Jim?
No.
When you knight somebody, it's basically when one of your frat brothers are passed out. It's sort of more of a sight gag, really. They basically expose themselves, and they hit their your shoulder, your head with their penis.
As if you're being knighted by the queen.
If you're being knighted, it's humiliating.
In this case, with your friend's penis.
Penis, yeah. You know, everyone said, "Oh, so, this is just." To so bond they, closer, we're from, you know, better friends now, whatever.
Right. I don't think that. Did people say that?
This is what they said in court. The said in court. That's what I remember.
So you've been blanket partied? That's a proper phrase?
I've been blanket partied. I've been knighted.
But you got injured in your arm. Did you pass out? Is that how you got knighted? Or can you be knighted and not pass out?
Yeah, no, I was really drunk when all this happened, so I was arguably fading in and out of consciousness.
Right.
So basically, after this happened, I said, you know what, guys? I'm getting my stuff. I'm out of here. I get my bag from under the, you know, the thing where you ever take, like, Bolt Bus, Jim?
The bus to Boston?
They do buses across the Eastern Seaboard. I believe they have a West Coast run as well. Irrelevant. My point is, you know, but there's an undercarriage to most coach buses.
Where they put the luggage and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I get my bag from under there. I get my bag, and I just start walking. I start walking, and I'm mad. I'm huffing and puffing. Mm-hmm. And then I hear... Well, I hear, what is that? It's music. That's music, right? Mm-hmm. There's sort of a cabin I happen upon. I walk inside. These guys are jamming.
These guys, like a band, like a band.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're just like a jam, but they're just... Guys getting together and just jamming.
Yeah. But I walk in. I guess I startled them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're covered. I'm going to assume you're covered in blood.
I'm covered in blood and semen. I don't want to get into that.
Semen.
How does that happen?
We covered this earlier.
No, well, I know we covered it earlier, but how all of a sudden we went from you got blanket partied, you got knighted. I guess it could have happened there. Now you're covered. Now you're covered in semen. You spring these things on us as if we're supposed to go. Yeah, of course. Why not?
I had stopped at a truck stop along the way just to get a cup of Joe.
See, this is a very important part of information that you neglected to say.
Do you know, like, for you ever going like a truck stop and on a stall, one of the walls it says like, for a good time, meet me here. Such and such a date of time at midnight. Uh-huh. and you do
everything you read on a bathroom wall at a truck stop.
Well, no, I just happen to be there
at the right time.
At the wrong, well, you tell me.
I don't want to cast aspersion on.
It's one of the, you know, it's the saying used to go. No one hears you scream at the Route 15 Stuckies.
First of all, I've never heard that expression. But secondly, Stuckey's is some good eats.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're still around.
I don't know if they are either, but Stuckey's was probably about as low as you could go. I mean, I think the Stuckey's was lower than, say, Golden Corral.
I always used to want to go to Stuckey's when I was... I went always wanted to go as a kid. My dad would never take us.
Did you? Dad, was there a ground round where you grew up?
Yeah. I would hear about that. My dad wouldn't take us to any of those places, and I always thought,
was it religious grounds or?
I think it was just on don't go to disgusting restaurant grounds. Looking back on it, but I thought it was. Just because we were simpletons, I thought. When I was a kid, I always thought any restaurant that had a commercial, mm-hmm. I always thought that meant it was a good restaurant.
Sure. There's a logic there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. This must be a pretty upstanding place. They're advertising on television.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
That's when television meant something. Now, any shitty fucking restaurant can advertise on television.
Back then you had to really want it. My point is, I sort of barge in on this band practice as it turned out.
All right, you're at this cabin.
Startle the band.
Covered in blood and semen.
Covered in blood and semen. One of these guys takes out a pistol, shoots me in the foot.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm like, right. Why'd you do that? And they said, sorry, man. And then, when we start hanging out,
again, I just sipping feel like whiskey. There's a hole in this story that you could drive a truck through. I'm just saying. You're shot in the foot. You say, you don't cry out in pain, but you do say, holy shit, man, why did you do that? And he says, sorry. And then next thing you know, you guys are sipping whiskey and partying.
Well, I was already pretty drunk, so I...
Still, you know, you're still drunk. You're drunk from the truck stop?
I'm drunk from the bus earlier.
Drunk on the Bolt bus.
Yeah,
you're painting. Can I say you're painting a very wholesome picture right now?
Hey, listen, this is a warts and all podcast, Jim.
Oh, it is. It so is. More than I thought it ever was.
Yeah. So anyway, these guys, we start talking and drinking. Guy's name Dwayne, Greg, Dickie, and we're all hanging out.
Right.
And there's a couple of other guys.
What was it? Dwayne, Greg, Dickie.
You see where this is headed.
I do. I'm going to ask. Can I ask? What was their last name?
Well, I didn't realize at the time. Greg and Dwayne are brothers. The Allman Brothers. I didn't know this. And then we're eating almonds, the nuts.
They were, or you? You were.
I had some almonds.
On you.
I pulled out some almonds.
Because you never went anywhere without almonds. I know that. I know that much.
Good source of protein.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had them.
And can I just get a little trivia in here? When you go to the west coast of this great country of ours, out in California, out in Mendocino, California, which is the almond capital.
Jim, if I can interrupt you, I believe it's pronounced Mendocino. I believe it is. I could be.
Oh my God! When you get to Mendocino, there's no H in there, so I don't think it's. But when you get to
I've been to many quinceañeras in Mendocino. Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Yeah,
I think out there they pronounce it Ammons.
I don't think you should ever brag about how many quinceañeras you've been to.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I've been to many quinceañeras.
And they pronounce it almond. And when you say, I thought it was almond, they said, oh, do you call the fish a salmon?
Oh,
this is true. God. This is true. They're very, they're real serious.
What a bunch of fuckers.
I wanted
the protein blast, and could be argued I got it at that truck stop that night. but I carried almonds with me, you know, just cheering with the band. and, And they're like, hey, let me have some of those almond. I said, we should call ourselves the Almond Brothers. Big laugh all around.
Right, right, because it's kind of a double entendre.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They are, in fact.
Yeah, and so they're like, we like you. I was actually the original, long story long, became the original second drummer for the Almond Brothers.
They had two drummers.
Oh, yeah. And all their songs were really short before I came
along. What happened? You decided to make them? Because they're known for, like, long, long songs.
And there's a reason for that, Jim. I used to suffer from horrible bladder infections. Horrible. The worst.
What does that make? I'm sorry. So does that make you the time? Is that the thing?
Medical journal quality bladder infection.
So you are, if I open up a big medical journal and look under bladder, I'm going to see a picture of you.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens when you have a bladder infection? Does that make you? I've never had one. Does that make you pee all the time or never?
All the time. I was peeing with such frequency, and the stuff that was coming out of me, Jim.
What do you mean?
It looked like melted butter on lobster night. Oh, golly, I'm not proud, Jim.
Oh, my God.
I'm
not.
I'm sorry. Listen. I'm glad we need the. Sometimes you earn the explicit rating. Sometimes you don't. But anyway, I was getting up so often to urinate that I had to signal to Butch, "Hey, keep it going." And that's how our songs became so long. I basically, through my own shortcomings, in this case a bladder infection, which I know I shouldn't blame myself from, I essentially...
Yeah, you don't victimize. You don't need to victimize yourself over that.
I created the jam band genre.
Which is? What is the jam band genre?
Well, you jam, Jim. It's right there in the name. Yeah.
That's it. You just jam.
Yeah.
Seems a little lazy.
I'll say.
I don't
want to pass judgment. I'm going to pass judgment on your genre that you created, but God almighty, jam bands are the worst.
No, well, if not when you're high out of your mind.
Sure, I guess so. So you're high, covered in blood and semen, apparently have a terrible bladder infection that's causing you to get up every, 2 minutes?
Yeah, I mean that's why.
And the stuff that's coming out of you is like butter, melted butter on lobster night.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I'm sorry.
I want to know what the other it's like melted butter on blank night. Is there other nights that's appropriate? I guess corn on the cob.
Yeah, but I mean I would argue that lobster is the only. I mean popcorn. It could be argued.
Yes. But it doesn't have. It certainly doesn't have the resonance of lobster night. There's this whole idea of dipping the lobster tail or whatever into a bucket of melted butter and thinking that that's what's coming out of your.
Look, bladder. It's not a pretty image. It's not a pretty image.
No, I know.
First to admit it.
So
first to admit it.
So this is all going on. You're slowly, I guess, kind of getting gigs here and there, right? You're getting attention.
Oh yeah, and then Whipping Post, because of my situation that I discussed.
You could have gone to a doctor.
Oh well, these were different times. All the money went to drugs. So.
Oh my Lord! And those drugs, kind of drugs, and even those didn't help you. They must have taken the pain away.
Oh, they helped in their own way, sure. Yeah, but Crossroads teams come and go, come and go.
Okay,
that was sort of a
that would be you.
uh a reference to me always having to use the
so restroom. You kind of became an inside joke to the Allman Brothers. Allman
oh
Brothers.
yeah we laughed it up. Oh, they laughed it up, I should say,
because you were probably in too much pain to be laughing it up.
I was in horrible pain. I mean, it's still, you know, to this day, one of those things.
Sure.
So yeah, but we're sort of things are happening with us, and a lot of people don't know this. I sent Dwayne Allman out. He was picking up some penicillin for me. When he was killed in the motorcycle crash. So, not to, I don't want to end it on a sad note.
Well, no, I mean, it is kind of a sad note. Yourself? Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask that question.
No, I blame the truck.
I guess Chris wasn't being, I don't think Chris meant it literally. I mean, was it your fault that he got hit by the truck? Not that the truck hit him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Without question. Yeah, 100%.
And then let's go one step further from that, which is what Chris's question was, is do you blame yourself over that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, without question.
But you don't really, you're able to sleep at night.
I mean, except from the infection, you're able to sleep at night.
The infection is the real issue. Yeah, I would have to say.
Yeah. You still haven't had it looked into? What was that, 40 years ago?
All these years later, you would think I could make the time. But actually, yeah, you get used to it.
You have time to go promote your book up in Canada. From coast to coast in Canada.
Yeah.
I saw some of those reports. I saw some of the... saw some of your City TV and CTV appearances on their newscasts.
Yeah, I was on many televisions.
You're real important stations. Up there.
Yeah.
And it is the number one, according to Amazon, number one best-selling autobiography.
Canadian historical biographies, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and you have time to do all that, but you don't have time just to, for own your own self-care, go to a doctor, get that thing.
Self-care, it's always last, isn't it, Jim?
I guess.
Always the last, you know.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be, but it always is. It's, you know, I'm always trying to take care of everybody else. never really looking out for myself.
You're very generous that way. I will say that. You're very, very generous.
Yeah. So.
So what happens? Are you kicked? So you essentially the reason that, which one got hit by the truck?
It was Dwayne. I can't believe you wouldn't know that, but whatever.
So Dwayne's hit by a truck. I'm gonna guess tension, and we really gotta wrap it up. But tension in the band because of that. I mean, you basically killed off one of the main brothers.
That could be argued. Yeah.
Basically, I guess I should say, did you sense an air of hostility towards you?
Yeah, definitely. I was not allowed to take any extra solos.
That's how they treated you. You basically responsible for Dwayne Allman's death, and the kind of the retribution is
no solos. Oh yeah, you want to punish an Allman brother? You take away his solo. Is there any greater punishment for a member of?
You know, now that you mention it, I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, come on.
These are guys who they're not deep. Everything is surface level. You take away those solos, you've taken away their life.
Yeah. I mean, that's a
very good point.
The solos, I mean, without the solos, you know, it hurts the bar business, the whole thing. Concessions.
It's like its own ecosystem.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So, bit of a blow.
Did you, eventually get kicked out of the band? Is that what happened? Or did you just leave?
It's interesting. We were packing up the bus We had just finished playing another sold-out run of the Beacon Theater. By this time, I was relegated to not even being on stage with the band. It's worth noting.
What would you do?
I was back behind some curtains playing percussion, they called it. I worked a shaker, which I don't believe was even mic.
I thought you were going to say they you were like the dancer, like in the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
That would have been a good job.
Oh, yeah. Great way to
stay in shape. Don't
even need a mic. Worked. Great way to stay in shape. Anyway, long short of it, I forgot something in my hotel room. I said, guys, give me 1 second. I come back out. The bus is gone.
Is that the last you saw him?
I have not been in touch with anyone in the band ever since.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, let me go do an idiot check. I think I forgot something. And that was that.
Literally and figuratively was an idiot check.
I can't walk by the Days Inn on 9th Avenue without smarts.
New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still bad memories.
Oh, to this day. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me share my truth with you.
It's been real.
Yeah.
So this has been History Fluffer with Dave Hill, who I believe is still covered in blood and semen. Is the just to clarify, is the bladder infection cleared up? Does the bladder infection clear up? What is it?
I got to say, Jim, I actually have to go now. And
Oh, you're going to go
ahead.
Okay,
I got to hit the head now.
You must be in a lot of pain right now. I don't want to hold you.
I'm in a tremendous amount of pain.
All right, well, then go. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
All right, thanks, goodbye. Guys. All right. Bye-bye.
been listening to Dave Hill's History Fluffer. For more information, go to foobarradio.com.